I read that you took a stand and refused to kill in Vietnam.
Okay, we're here with another afternoon slash evening, depending on where you are in the worldwide globe, with my good friend David Zeiger. Hi, David.
How you doing, Dave?
I'm doing marvelous. This morning, I received by Federal Express several copies. Mine were autographed, by the way, of the new special edition DVD of Sir No Sir, which is the original movie, but this one just has an absolute buttload, and that's a technical term in the industry, an absolute...
Yeah, very common.
Very good. Absolute buttload of extra features, including the only on-camera interview, if you exclude my son Jack and his little college deal, of me and David in a conversation about how Radio First Termer actually started. Now, David, you know, I am just the number one fan of Sir No Sir, as you well know, and I literally sat down when the FedEx guy got here this morning and looked, of course, I looked at mine first because I wanted to see how it looked on camera, but after I got through and said, boy, I didn't look as bad as I thought I looked, then I started looking at the other special features. And in some of these really kind of blew me away, even though I really knew about them. And I just want to kind of just briefly talk about each of the special features that makes this an absolute must-buy as far as I'm concerned, because I believe this is a part of history that someone can show a generation down the way, 10 years or so, and still have significant impact on what a group of soldiers can do and a group of people can do if they set their mind to it. And I know you agree with that.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. We have it's an hour and a half of additional material. It's basically two films.
Yeah, it really is. Yeah.
And it expands the story, and it tells how huge this movement was and how it penetrated everywhere.
You know, and on top of that, I just was really intrigued with some of the different interviews. And let's just kind of go down them, and you can just kind of tell us a little bit of what it is and how it differs from what the regular DVD had. Let's take number one, the rebellion at the Fort Dix Stockade.
This was a huge rebellion that happened in, I think, 1969. It was shortly after the Presidio Rebellion that's in the film. The only reason this story isn't in the film is because it is, you know, similar to what happened at Presidio, but it was a big uprising that happened there, and one of the leaders of that, who was tried and faced about 30 years in prison, and got acquitted, partly from the testimony of the guard, is the guy that we interviewed, Terry Kluge.
Okay. Next, organizing a union in the military.
A guy named Andy Stapp, who was one of a handful of student radicals who went into the military, and as he said, he realized he'd made a big mistake as soon as he went in, but to try to be part of helping to organize the movement, and they started a union that at one point had 20,000 members.
Wow. Okay, Black GIs and the Enemy. I kind of know what this was about, but go ahead.
Well, this is really one of the most incendiary stories of the war, how the Vietnamese people and Black GIs had a real unity, a real symbiosis. And this is Stephen Suswell, the guy from the Fort Hood 23, who was sent to Vietnam in punishment for his political activism, and then met a lot of Vietnamese people and pretty much learned politics from them and became very radical through that contact.
Okay. Vietnam GI, the first underground paper.
First underground GI paper was formed by a Vietnam vet. He came back to the States. He said, "We got to do something." He started putting out this paper and sent up as many as 5,000 copies per issue to Vietnam, and they spread all over the country.
Okay, Life and Escape at the Presidio Stockade.
There's a very funny story about how Keith Mather, who was one of the Presidio 21, escaped from prison, and also about the story about there's a myth about how he escaped, which is true, and that's all in the film.
Okay, the Winter Soldier investigation indicting the government.
Joe Ergo is one of the organizers of the Winter Soldier investigation. He gives a really interesting inside look at how that thing was organized, how they planned it, and how they did everything they could to get the word out there.
David Zeiger's return to Fort Hood.
This is my favorite one. I went back to Killeen, Texas, where I worked at the LDS GI Coffee House, and did a lot of filming, and also got hold of the guy who used to be a police sergeant when we were there, and then became the chief of police, Francis Giacomozzi, and sat down with him, and we had a very interesting conversation about those days.
And of course, my favorite, Pirate Radio DJ Dave Rabbit Speaks.
This is the most amazing piece in the whole thing. It's actually great. I showed it to my parents today, and my father just fell out. He thought it was fantastic. It's your story, the story of one individual doing something for very personal reasons, but personal reasons that were rooted in what was going on in the world and having a tremendous impact. It's a great story.
The court-martial of Camilo Mejia, the Iraq war resister.
Camilo Mejia was the first soldier in the Army who refused to return to Iraq after a six-month tour. He was court-martialed. He was sentenced to one year in the stockade. We filmed his court-martial. We were at his court-martial while it was going on and put together this story. Since this happened, which was back in 2004, I believe, there have been dozens and dozens of people who have followed in Camilo's footsteps, and there are court-martials going on all the time now of people who, based on their conscience and based on their belief that the war in Iraq is just as illegal and just as unjust as Vietnam, are refusing to go.
All right, and besides yours and mine, this one I think really, really struck a chord with me because I had never really heard Cindy Sheehan speak, but Cindy Sheehan and Jane Fonda from Vietnam to Iraq.
This was a benefit event in Mill Valley, California for the film Sir No Sir that incredibly Cindy was available and came to speak at it, and Jane spoke at it. And it's interesting because, you know, so many of us know Cindy through what we've read about her, but very few people have actually heard her speak. And she's a tremendously powerful speaker. She speaks from her gut, from her heart. And both she and Jane drew the links between the Vietnam War and the resistance in the military and what they're part of trying to build today and what really is happening in Iraq.
And I just want to make an extension on this. I told David we were just going to briefly touch on each one. But you know what's really struck me about this particular thing was Jane Fonda. And what struck me, David, is when she's talking after Cindy, and she says, you know, one of the things that I've really had the most difficult time with is, you know, being accused of being anti-soldier, you know, because she was never, ever anti-soldier. She was anti-war, and people painted her out. And in this particular segment that I saw, I mean, you could see that her eyes were very watery, because she was very passionate about what she believed and was painted out as being anti-soldier, and that was not the case with Jane Fonda.
It really gives you a different perspective on her, and it gives you pause. You know, when you think about the fact that this woman who pretty much risked her entire career for several years to devote her entire life to supporting soldiers who were opposed to the war in Vietnam, who were part of a very big movement, and then to have the next 30 years be accused, like you're saying, of being anti-soldier and being a traitor and all of that. She's an incredible woman to simply have lived through that.
Yeah, and, you know, like I say, when I saw it, and I saw all the segments, but when I saw that one, and camera comes up real close to her eyes, and you can see that she's physically, you know, upset about all the accusations of being anti-soldier.
Yep.
Okay, veterans return their medals in only the beginning.
This is from a film that was made back in the 60s by a guerrilla film group called Newsreel about the demonstration where about 1,500 veterans converged on Washington, D.C. for a week of demonstrating and lobbying, and it culminated the last day with hundreds and hundreds of Vietnam vets, one at a time, introducing themselves and throwing their medals in anger onto the Capitol steps. It's one of the most moving and startling pieces of film, I think, that you could ever see, from not just from the 60s, but from any time.
And
it's the first time this stuff's been available on DVD.
And you know, it really is, in being a Purple Heart recipient and commendation medal and stuff. You know, I think what really blew me away, there was one guy in this particular segment that had received like 5 bronze stars.
Yeah, yeah.
5 bronze stars, and takes the whole shebang and heaves it on the depths of the wine house, basically. I mean, this segment was just blew me away. Okay, the Oleo Strut GI Coffee House in the summer of 1968. You're there, and I'm in Cameron Bay.
Yeah. This is a really fun piece because it's a great film called The Summer of 68 that was made by the same group, the Newsreel Collective. They went down, they wanted to see what was happening in that summer in relation to the Democratic National Convention. And, they spent a bunch of time down there, and you see guys talking about their experiences, you see the entertainment at the Strut, and you get a sense of how bleak and desolate these military towns are that people had to live in for months of their lives.
Yeah, we both know about Colleen. Rita Martinson sings Soldier, We Love You in FTA.
You know, in the film, Sir No Sir, we have a brief moment of her singing that song. And I know that's something that we've gotten so many requests from people to you know, how do we get that song? How do we hear the whole thing? So we put the entire scene from Rita singing Soldier, We Love You, which is, you know, she's singing it to hundreds and hundreds of soldiers somewhere in the Far East, as part of the FBI show. That song's also available on the CD soundtrack that we're selling, but it's really just a beautiful, beautiful moment, and an incredible song.
Yeah, and you know, I told you a long time ago when I first saw the movie how blown away and teary-eyed I got, because you can tell that there's moisture in her eyes, you know she's fighting back her emotions, and yet she's playing to this huge crowd of GIs, and the thing that I think really brought this song out to me is when the camera pans into the audience and you see the GIs' reaction to her singing the song to them. And that's just, I think it's a moment that, you know, you can't sit there and just ignore.
Yep. Yep. It grabs you and it says everything about what the film and this whole story is all about.
Okay. And you know, what people may or may not be aware of is that Ebert and Roper, reviewed Sir No Sir, some months ago, and gave it 2 thumbs up. In fact, they both commented about how David's movie put to rest, if you will, so many fallacies that had been perpetrated by the government or whoever trying to squash this movement, this GI movement that the Vietnam veterans started some 35, 36 years ago. Other than that, it has all these extra features, and of course the original, which I thought was just a beautifully done, David. I've told you this before, giving you hundreds of accolades about how beautiful a job you did in telling the story and putting the story together. And of course, you've had hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of positive reviews and people emailing you and writing you from all over the world, thanking you for this film. And of course, I want to thank you again also. And I guess just one last question, David, that I've got before. Well, no, before I ask you one last question, I got to tell everybody this. This DVD premieres worldwide December 19th, 2006.
Right.
And it's going to be available in every possible imaginable DVD house that you can imagine that you would buy from Best Buy, Circuit City, all the big major heavy hitters. And it's also going to be available for sale, and definitely for rent, but probably for sale also, at least in my Blockbuster. I know they have a lot of new movies all the time, including documentaries. Blockbuster, Netflix, and there's several others, I'm sure, out there. The thing I just found out when I talked to David off air is that you can get this special edition DVD from David's website at www.sirnosir.com. It didn't have like a storefront click-on thing, David, or something they go
yep.
to?
Yeah, we have a storefront there with the film. Like you said, it's going to be available everywhere, but I would really encourage people to buy it from our website. It's the best way to support the film. And plus, it's the only place where you can get the CD soundtrack as well, and the beautiful theatrical poster. You can get all of that stuff, and the DVD's priced very reasonably. It's $23.95, And so, yeah, so go to SirNoSir.com to buy it starting on Tuesday.
Well, I know that that would be the best place because for people that don't know anything about the movie, it gives you a tremendous access to the history of Sir No Sir and David. And it also gives you the benefit of seeing posters and all kinds of audio CDs. And there's other things on the site in addition to the Sir No Sir franchise that you may find of interest. And one of the things I know, David, that I'm especially interested in, I understand that famous David Zeiger hat that's in all your photos, I understand that you have it on the page also for purchase. Is that true?
Well, no, but actually that hat is exclusively available at the Supply Sergeant for, I think it's $6.95.
I give David stuff about that all the time because when we went to California to do my interview, you know, David wore the hat when we went out to lunch, and, you know, I told David that I thought, you know, if I saw him without any, without that hat, it would be a miracle. Okay, one last thing, just so people don't think this is entirely a self-promotion for David Zeiger, even though it really is, I want to ask you about Kramer and the comments he made. In the previous interview you and I did, obviously we talked about Mel Gibson and, you know, his anti-Semite comments and whatever, and you gave your opinion about the thing. Now we have a Jewish person standing up on the stage in a comedy show and blatantly just goes off the deep end and does the N-word. I ask you what you thought about Mel Gibson's comments, so I just want to get your opinion about Kramer's comment on the stage, Michael Richards.
Well, you know, here's the thing that's interesting to me about this. I've been to the Laugh Factory before. I've been there a couple times. I'll tell you what, the nature of that place and the nature of the comedy at that place is insult as many people as you can. I mean, it's like an insulting contest, you know, and that's the humor, the kind of humor that they promote at that place. So I'm not, for one thing, just in terms of the whole nature of that kind of comedy, doesn't surprise me a bit that you know, Kramer or anyone else would kind of tilt over the edge, which is, it's a very thin line, I'll tell you, between what's supposedly acceptable and what isn't acceptable there. And I was, myself, I was quite amused by the owner of the place, you know, acting like the police sergeant in Casablanca, you know, being, you know, absolutely shocked that someone would deign to insult and express racism in the place, because the place is crawling with it.
Yeah, and that's why I wanted you to respond to it, because I know that you have gone there before, and we didn't get a chance to go there. I mean, the place that we went for dinner with you and your family and me and my family, you know, I mean, that was pretty ruckus, you know, and I mean, we were just going to a restaurant. So, yeah, things are a lot different out there, but I thought that would be kind of interesting to hear your take on it, since we talked about Mel Gibson. And I want to show that there's no favoritism, you know. David's not afraid to, you know, to tell you his opinion about anything whatsoever. Well, listen, my friend, I know you got 1,000 things going on, putting the new stuff on the website, getting ready for the huge worldwide release of the special edition Sir No Sir DVD. And I can't thank you enough for our friendship since February of 2006, and your guidance and all your well wishes and just the type of guy that you are, David. I've told people this before, and I want to say it again. You are one of the most kindest, gentlest people that I've ever had the pleasure to be around. You know, you don't have a negative thing to say about anybody. I don't care how bad they've ever slammed you, whether it be an interview or whatever. And to me, that makes you the type of friend that I am proud to call my friend, David Zeiger.
I'm speechless, and I really appreciate it. And I gotta say something in return, because I mean, the stuff that I listened to the Radio First Terminator Rock stuff, and for one thing, along with the fact that I'm totally in awe of that you actually did that you actually, you know, created that whole thing. That's some brilliant stuff. I mean, it's just it really is in the same kind of vein as what you were doing 35 years ago. There is so little humor going on right now in relation to what's happening in the world. There's so little irony and so little sense of perspective. I just really think that that's the kind of thing that we need.
Yeah, and it really is. You know, humor may be a lot of things, but one thing it is a great Band-Aid for things that hurt. And that's the interview with David Zeiger. Please be sure and go to David's site at www.sirnosir.com to make your purchase of the special edition DVD and get a chance to see the old Dave Aru in front of a camera. And it was really scary, too, because he had Jade, one of his assistants at the time, and himself. And there's these two huge cameras staring at me, and we had to cut the air conditioning off. in David's studio because we didn't want the air conditioning going on. But anyway, we had a great time, and David, please give my love to the family, and I wish you well, and you know that you will always be able to count on me as your number one supporter for Sir No Sir.
Same back to you.
Uncle Sam's in Nam to loot and rob, and people starve at home cause there's no jobs. Oh, ain't it hard to smile sometimes? I know it's hard to smile sometimes, but soldier, we love you. Yes, soldier, we love you. Standing strong, cause it's hard to do. What do you know you must do? Cause it's true. Yes, it's true. They locked you up in their stockades. Yeah, they locked you up cause they're afraid that you would rap and spread the word. But you can't jail truth, it will be heard. Oh, ain't it hard to smile sometimes? I know it's hard to smile sometimes, but soldier, we love you. Yeah, brave soldier, we love you. Standing strong, yes, it's hard to do. What do you know you must do? Cause it's true. Yes, it's true. And soon there will be others too who refuse to fight and stand with you. Yes, they'll raise their fists high in the air, say we're not going anywhere. Oh, ain't it hard to smile sometimes? It's hard to smile sometimes, but soldier, we love you. Brave soldier, we love you. Standing strong, yes, it's hard to do. What do you know you must do? Cause it's true. Yes, it's true. We love you.